760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest. We hope you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris. I'm joined by the Catholic Dream Team.
Love it.
Dave and Allison.
Dave and Allison. And Josh.
And Josh.
And Josh.
And I said that, no, not by order of importance, but Dave is right in front of me. So just, you know, that's the way it went into my noggin.
I like this little triangle.
Yeah, nobody can see that.
Yeah, for the audience, you can see the triangle. Thank you. Speaking of triangles, we need to invoke the power of the Trinity.
Okay, amen.
So can you please, Allison, I know this is your prayer day, so will you tee us up with a prayer?
Sure. In name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we gather as your children, seeking to know you more. So often we forget how deeply you love us. Remind us that your love is not earned, but freely given, stronger than our fears, greater than our failures. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive this truth. May we have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:18-19. Teach us to rest in your mercy, to trust in your goodness, and to reflect your love to those around us. Draw us closer to you each day, that we may walk as children of the light. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Father,
amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And I loved how you brought that in truly with my triangle, because that is the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So there you go.
Isn't that...
I love it.
Isn't that interesting?
It was beautiful.
And there's three of us.
There's three of us.
In a triangle. I just... sorry, guys. This is just hilarious. I don't know why I'm so excited about our triangle.
You got a pretty big low bar. You got a pretty low bar for hilarity, I must say.
You know what I do.
You know what I think is amazing is that you're both here. One of you isn't, like, stranded on the side of I-20.
I know. Gosh.
12 hours in the car together for you two, huh?
Yeah.
It was so much fun, though.
And after that, I must say, on public radio, I am tendering my resignation.
Was it that bad of
me? No, that was great. Allison was in mom mode. She had just taken care of me, I tell you. Honestly, there were times I would have lost my head if it wasn't attached to me, and she definitely was given that maternal oversight, making sure that we were heading in the right direction. Really, really great to have her.
You mean in the car or spiritually?
maybe a little of both. Although, what was interesting on the way home, we passed this. It was so... We were cooking, trying to get back to Atlanta, because I wanted to go to a 1 o'clock Mass on Sunday. We are driving, and we pass this Catholic... Literally, this Catholic church that looks like a kind of dilapidated ranch house in the side of some... no-name country town in Georgia. And we're like, oh, I wonder if that place has Mass. They had Mass within, I don't know, it was enough time for me to knock out a whole little bit, you know, a holy hour and go to Mass. So Allison, in her patience and kindness, modified the schedule. We did that. And it was really cool. It was all Hispanic, though. We were the,
So no English?
Well, it was... But the Mass, there was some English in there.
It was bilingual.
Bilingual, okay.
But what was really cool was I would say, if not completely Spanish, 98% Spanish, I'm going to take a stab at it. So welcoming, so amazing.
It was really great.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was Good Shepherd Church, and the town that we were in, I do believe it was Hazelhurst.
Hazelhurst.
Georgia. It was amazing. We're driving on the road because I hadn't had anything for breakfast, and we see a Catholic church on the right. We're like, oh, and it's a little brick building. I mean, a small, humble little building. And yeah, Josh is like, let me have a holy hour. And it's funny. I went to Huddle House to try to get something to eat while he was at the church praying his holy hour, waited over an hour for my food, and it never arrived. So I was like, you know what? I've got to go somewhere. So went bonded with Josh praying, went to Mass. It was beautiful. Cool. And that was such a welcoming community.
Yeah.
They were great.
They were great. And this segment sponsored by Waffle House after those very flattering remarks.
I know. Huddle House. And that was my first experience at Huddle House. They were super kind, though.
I think in their defense, when I saw the parking lot, it was stuffed.
Slammed.
It was absolutely slammed.
And any restaurant can have a day like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I don't think we said where you actually went.
We went to the Knights of Columbus 123rd Annual State Convention in Georgia, and the fraternity, the faith, the service on full display. Amazing, amazing stuff. Cool. Yeah, big shout out to TJ McCoslin, the state warden. Is that his official title?
Well, the deputy.
The deputy. The warden, the deputy.
Yeah. He's the sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, yeah. He's the deputy, and he, again, provided such great hospitality, leadership. It was an outstanding event. And we just got so many incredible interviews. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, one guy I interviewed, he helped provide the first ultrasound donation for the Knights for a Pregnancy Resource Center, not in the state of Georgia, in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He worked as a medical, salesperson, and people, I guess you could buy these machines for, up to $100,000, but he saw the need that they had and was able to, I think, get them machines for $10,000 to $12,000.
Wow.
With his resources. And just, again, he even got his company involved to get it at the absolute cost.
So are we going to hear his interview and some other ones?
Yes, we're going to hear
this week, next week.
Absolutely.
Yep. We got a lot of really special interviews to share. So, I mean, that's just a teaser of a multitude of heroic individuals we interviewed from this conference.
Well, and also shout out to Sherry McCloslin, TJ's wife. So gracious and, so kind. I got to go to the women's luncheon, which was a blast. Had a great time meeting all the ladies. And again, great men. Knights of Columbus, if you're a man out there, sorry, I said it. I know there's men listening. If you're out there and you're not involved with the Knights of Columbus, I was blown away at the service they do. And they have such a great bond with each other. And it's all about serving others and their family.
And I'm just going to say some very quick statistics. I mean, these guys have donated over 1,700 ultrasound machines to pregnancy resource centers.
Wow. In Georgia?
I don't know this. I think nationwide.
Okay.
Yeah, nationwide. Maybe more, actually. This may be older statistics. They've contributed over $89 million to seminarians.
Wow.
In their support of them. Yeah, incredible. Over a quarter million care package delivered to families and refugees in Ukraine. I mean,
and these guys are the real... And this is just a taste of what they do.
This is just a taste. I mean, it'd be a hostage situation if I was to list all their charitable work. So, but we'll be spotlighting that in the future and giving you some cool interviews from our experience there.
Looking forward to that.
But for this hour, we have Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, unpacking today's gospel. Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. John, the first Pope and martyr. We got an encore presentation of one of our favorite people, Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, talking about the signs and symbols of the Mass. But next, our friend Alan Austin, campus and young adult ministry leader for the Archdiocese of Atlanta, is joined with three Echo apprentices talking about the work they have accomplished in some of our local parishes.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
Alan Austin, the Director of Campus and Young Adult Ministries for the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship for the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He has three Echo apprentices here with him today. Maddie Walker, Meredith Meyer, and Matthew LaFontaine. Welcome to The Quest, guys.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Alan, what is the Notre Dame Echo Apprentice Program, and how did the Archdiocese of Atlanta get involved with this mission?
Yeah, so it's a partnership between the McGrath Institute out of Notre Dame and the theology department. So if you are going to Notre Dame to enter into a master's program in theology, you can do it like a typical master's program, live on campus, go to school 2 years or so, or you can join the ECHO program. If you join the ECHO program, then you go to classes intently over two summers, and then during the school year, quote-unquote, you work in a parish in a partnering diocese. So the Atlanta's been partnered with Notre Dame for two cohorts of 4 years.
Wow.
So this is our second group of students. So you go and you work those 2 years in a parish while you're taking an online class and live in community. And that's part of their formation, is to live in community, to love and serve each other. You know, living together can be kind of rough sometimes, especially people you didn't choose to live with. So there's a lot of formation that goes into that. And part of them building community is part of their formation. It's been awesome. It's one of the best parts of my job, I think. They graduate in June this year, and so they're going back, and we have three new apprentices coming in August.
So Maddie, Meredith, and Matthew would love for you to share your experiences about ECHO and how you all got involved.
Yeah, so I had heard about the ECHO program from a friend who had gone through the program himself. In undergrad, I studied public health and had minors in theater and psychology. And it was around sophomore year or so where I really thought to myself, I didn't really want to use my degree and pursue a career in that field,
but
I wanted to serve the church in some capacity. So when I had learned about the ECHO program and I researched it on their website, it gave me chills. You know, I could earn a master's degree in theology, but I could also serve the church. Yeah, it just seemed like a great fit. So I decided to apply and got in. And now I'm currently wrapping up my time at St. Matthew Catholic Church in Tyrone. There, I've been privileged to work in youth ministry and a little bit with OCIA. And I was the parish's director of communications for a little bit of time as well. So grateful for my experience there and all that I've learned and the people that I've met over my past 2 years here at the parish.
Before we move on, these three apprentices are not from Atlanta. They're from other parts of the country, which is amazing that they got to come here and dive into our archdiocese and serve. So yeah, I just definitely had to throw that in there. How about you?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Fort Collins, Colorado. I did my undergrad at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. There I studied business administration and Spanish. But similarly to Matt, around my senior year, I had to make a decision of whether I pursue ministry or if I would pursue business. And honestly, I didn't really enjoy the business sector as much and felt the call from the Lord to know him as teacher. And so I found the ECHO program, discerned, and I was like, this is too good to be true. And now I've had the privilege to serve 2 years at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Peachtree City, Georgia.
Yes.
Doing sacramental preparation for youth and also working in youth ministry.
So wow.
It's been a joy.
And you?
Yes. So I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, but I went to Notre Dame for undergrad. So I heard about ECHO through various undergrad channels. I studied theology, peace studies, and philosophy. I actually got in the program a year early. So I had been thinking, you know, what do I want to do after college? I don't really know. And so I was attracted to the ECHO program because it had all these different components of like continuing to study theology. You get to try out working at a parish as an apprentice. It wasn't as much of a full-time like commitment forever. Not that any job is forever, but that, you were under the mentorship of someone at the parish and had the support of the university in learning how to do this. And then the intentional faith community was attracted to me too. So, and then made it to Archdiocese of Atlanta, and I've been serving at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan. My main role has been as OCIA coordinator, but helping out with, you know, middle school, youth ministry, adult formation.
That really is just amazing that they're just planted at specific parishes and you just get to meet people and learn and grow. And even I'm hearing just different ministries you got to be involved with. It wasn't like one.
Yeah, it's great. It's a struggle, obviously, to move away from someplace, to move in, people don't know, to be in a strange place, to work in a first real job, so to speak, in the world. It's a struggle, but there's so many good things and so many blessings that come from it. It's just worth it. I think all things in life that are really good come with some kind of a struggle.
So within your different parishes, was there any specific ministry or experience that really just stood out, that really inspired you and just made you feel like, yes, Lord, you have me on the right direction?
Yeah, I can speak to that. So I had this past year, I worked with kids who are delayed in receiving their sacraments, or also those that are just unbaptized, so our youth OCIA. And there's specifically one family with three unbaptized children, ages 11 to 17. And I was pretty much unfamiliar with how the rites in OCIA worked, had never encountered them before, but I became really convicted of you know, I think sometimes we can get caught up in the intellectual pursuit of the faith. But if we learn all these things and we take all these classes in theology, but we do not learn how to love, then it is in vain. Mm. And really the people I was teaching, they were completely uncatechized. And so really what I learned is encountering them each week and walking with them, just really came to realize that it's the Lord's grace and his power, and he can take anyone and he makes all things new.
Amen. So, and just meeting them where they are, right? Yeah, because it's easy to have knowledge, but if you're not loving and if you don't go with open arms meeting them where they are, it's hard to connect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any of you guys?
Yeah, for me, I'd say being from Vermont, it's not a very diverse place. Yeah. So we're one of the least diverse places in the whole country. So to come down here to Georgia, where there's just so much diversity in the parishes, it's been a really enriching experience, just seeing how different cultures maybe worship in our Catholic faith and just learning from one another. I think it really shows the universality of the church, for that I'm very grateful.
Anything jump out to you?
Yeah, I think just my general experience with OCIA, welcoming new people. Since I'm from Cincinnati, grew up Catholic, everybody I knew was Catholic, went to Catholic school my whole life. So it's been very enriching and just a blessing to meet all of these people. Like the past 2 weeks we've had like four or five new inquirers, just, and it's like just after Easter.
God.
And so all these people that really have no experience with the faith or have experience in a different faith, and so learning how to encounter them and welcome them but also learn from them. And everyone tells me in the OCIA, like when I ask them like what's been most fruitful for you, they say learning from each other, talking to each other. And so I've really loved to hear that too, and also the consistencies with hearing common reasons why people want to become Catholic, because I'm like, you live in the South, you don't even know any Catholic people, like what got you here? So it's really great to hear their stories. And you know, not every ministry has tangible fruits so soon, but I think OCI is one of those where you can see the blessings, you can see the concrete transformation of people even just throughout a year. And so it's a grace to learn from them.
So we have a new team coming up in August, as Alan was saying. So what piece of advice would each of you give to the upcoming crew that will be arriving this fall?
I would say pray. As it might sound, but pray and truly realize that our own plans for ministry aren't perfect and that the Lord can lead us and he's more than capable to take care of his flock. So just remain close to the vine.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of what you said, Maddie, just remaining rooted in Christ. I think from what I've witnessed and experienced in the parishes, that there's sometimes a temptation to just get so caught up in the work that you're doing that you really forget, like, why am I here? Like, what is this all about in the end? And it's about leading people to Christ. And if you're not rooted in Christ as a minister, then your ministry is going to be ineffective.
And how about you?
Advice that I needed and that I still need is just to be open to being changed by something new.
Well, Alan, if people want to learn more about this opportunity, the Echo Apprentices Program, where could they go for more information?
Just email me, aaustin@archatl.com. Yeah, it's a win-win-win for the diocese, a win for the parishes, a win for the apprentices. There's not a lot of things in life that are a win-win-win like that. This is one of them.
Well, thank you, Alan, for joining us. Maddie Walker, Meredith Meyer, and Matthew LaFountain for being here.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having us.
On the horizon, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. John, Pope and Martyr, St. John the First, shall I say. We've got an encore presentation of one of our favorite gentlemen, Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, talking about the signs and symbols at Mass. And remember that scripture verse today, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So you should also love one another. That's John 13:34. And next, our friend Kathy McCormick, parishioner of St. Thomas Aquinas, is helping us so beautifully unpack today's gospel reading.
It's Teresa Tomeo coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
We are joined by our friend Kathy McCormick. So excited to unpack today's gospel reading with her. How are you, Kathy?
I am great. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be here. The gospel today is John 14:21-26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. And that is today's Gospel of the World.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. All right. So the Gospel. Anything jump out to you guys?
What jumped out to me is when Jesus answered, whoever loves me will keep my word. And I think to myself, the Gospels, I mean, he speaks to us through the Gospels. So if we love him, we will keep his word. That's really what jumped out to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I just, this line, so poetic. We will come to him and make our dwelling within him.
Mm.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. what a pretty crystal clear Trinitarian revelation we have on our hands.
Right. Right.
You know, again, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are dwelling in the heart of each believer, right? I mean, we have right. the fullness of these graces as a result of our baptism and confirmation. And just praise God for that. And then also, again, clearly something that would probably get unpacked more specifically over time in terms of, you know, doctrinal understanding, but so beautiful to just see the foundations right in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah, the Trinity is pretty prevalent in this scripture,
mm-hmm.
and that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells in the soul of the believer. I think the other things too is faith working through love. You know, when you open your heart to the Holy Spirit and recognize that you are a child of God, and recognize just a hint of the immense love and mercy that the Lord has for you.
Mm.
You can't do anything but respond in love.
Yeah.
So I think that the interior life, the indwelling of the Trinity, invites us to foster a life of prayer, a life of service, a life of obedience,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully a little bit of silence, which is something that we don't seem to have very much of in the world today.
Yes, you're totally right.
And, yeah, I think too, morally, you know, if you're in a relationship and you love someone, you want to do everything you can to make, you know, be with that person, serve that person, and so on. And I think that I can only speak for myself. When I fell in love with God, I had a honeymoon back in my early 20s. I had a pretty intense conversion experience, and I fell in love with the Lord and his word. And I fell in love. I was a cradle Catholic, but I fell in love with the Catholic Church all over again. And I called it, you know, my honeymoon with the Lord for a while as I was discerning what I was supposed to do in service to him, because all I could do is say, okay, I recognize that I'm a child of God, that I was created out of love, that God loved me so much that he breathed me into being. And it's the same for all of us. And if you have just a hint of that recognition, the only thing you can do is love back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how are we loving back? Well, first thing, you got to open yourself up to the love and the love of all the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people stop with Father, Son, and really don't open themselves to the Holy Spirit. And now is the time, as we you know, march to Pentecost, to really think about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what that life in the Spirit looks like. You know, if we're living life in the Spirit, we have the fruits of this. My life is going to bear the fruit of love and patience and kindness and generosity and self-control and all of those fruits that are listed in Galatians 5.
Yes.
So that, you know, if the fruit of my life is those things, people are going to look at me and go, ooh, what does she have?
Yes, what does she have? I want that.
Life in the Spirit. What does she have? That's life in the Spirit.
Amen.
So I think that today we really need to look at opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit in a new way. Or if you haven't done it before, do it now, you know, open yourself to the Holy Spirit and, listen. And the only way to do that, the only way to have that indwelling of the Trinity is through prayer, silence, and obedience. Listen to what the Lord has to say, because it's the Spirit who reveals what Jesus taught. So, that would be my call for today, is to listen. Be silent and listen, and respond in love.
Yeah, just like that one scripture, be still and know that I am God. Thank you so much, Kathy McCormick. This is such a beautiful reflection and hopefully a call to us, you know, to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because we have eternal power dwelling within us, right, that is for our good and guidance as well, sent by our Lord and Savior himself. We are truly grateful for you. And you got a Bible study on the horizon really quickly. Where can people find out more about that?
I haven't posted it yet, but St. Thomas Aquinas, we're going to have a Bible study starting sometime in August, September time frame. And I'll give you more details as it comes about.
We're so grateful for you, Kathy. Thank you again, Kathy McCormick from St. Thomas Aquinas. Again, wonderful job. God bless you. It is 8:28, and I'm trying to find this news segment that I got because it's pretty serious stuff. In a statement released Sunday, Joe Biden has been diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Doctors discovered a prostate nodule last week after the president began experiencing increasing urinary symptoms. Further testing confirmed the cancer, which has a Gleason score of 9, one of the highest grades, has metastasized to the bone. While the diagnosis is serious, the cancer is said to be hormone sensitive, which means that there are treatment options available that could help manage the disease. President Biden and his family are currently reviewing these options with his medical team. This isn't the first time Biden has faced a health scare. He previously had a precancerous polyps removed from his colon in both 2008 and 2021. According to Duke University, the median survival rate for prostate cancer that spreads to the bone is about 21 months. So again, no matter our politics, this is a moment to pray for healing, grace, and a deep, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. This story is courtesy of Catholic Vote. I'm Josh Harris. On the horizon, our buddy Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, talks about the signs and symbols of the Mass. Remember our gospel reading for today, or shall I say, memory verse of the week. I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, so you should also love one another. That's John 13:34. But next, our friend Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. John the First, Pope and Martyr.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very good. Another great saint to talk about today. You know, Roman numerals are used rather sparingly in American culture, I would say, right? World Wars, Super Bowls, of course. Monarchs, and as much as we pay attention to those sort of things in this country, I know there are many who follow such things, particularly in England, you know, King Charles, right? Mm-hmm. Carmella, I think that's his, is his wife's name, Carmella?
I don't even know.
I don't know, yeah. Harry King. Do you follow any of that stuff at all?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither. I really don't. I don't really understand the hoopla around it, but I know many do.
I know. I don't have time to.
Anytime they say, yeah, it's part of it, too. And yeah. You know, every time you turn on the TV, whenever they have something to say, it seems like the media clamors for sound bites from them. And, you know, yes, if that's what you're interested in, that's fine. But when the topic turns to popes, especially a pope who would assume such a biblically significant name as John, and the Roman numeral 1 appears after his name, you know you're going deep into the annals of church history,
oh,
which
yes.
is precisely where we find ourselves today as we celebrate the life of St. John the First, who is recognized as a pope and martyr by way of an optional memorial every year on May 18th, unless, of course, his feast day falls on a Sunday, which is what happened this year. So this is a bit of a look-back segment for us on this Monday the 19th. Born in Tuscany in the year 470, John was rather surprisingly elected to be the Catholic Church's 53rd pope on the heels of Pope Hormisdas's death in the year 523. This would be a significant promotion for a man who was serving as an archdeacon at the time.
What? He went from archdeacon to pope?
He did.
Oh, that is definitely a promotion. You know, when you think about it, when you put it into perspective, it would be like he's a first or second level manager being appointed to a chairman or a CEO. Oh, that is wild.
I think that's a pretty excellent analogy. Yeah,
oh
it really is. You know, Theodoric was the ruler of Italy when John first assumed the papacy. And although he was an Arian Christian, he expressed no tangible objections to the Catholics under his reign, at least not seemingly. But this would all change as a result of some controversial literature and some subsequent dialogue that took place between ranking members of the Roman Senate and the rulers of Constantinople. Emperor Justin I, who was the first Catholic to assume the Byzantine throne in well over 50 years, was at the center of this rift. It sparked a hostile and toxic atmosphere between the Arian Christians and the Catholics. Things would get exceedingly worse. Unfortunately, Theodoric felt compelled to wage war against Justin, but ultimately decided to negotiate with him instead by way of a consortium spearheaded by none other than Pope John the First.
Wow.
So here we see his artful negotiation and his diplomacy at work, and he convinced the emperor to improve his treatment of the Arians, which ultimately served to preserve the peace, at least for the time being. Theodoric inexplicably came to the conclusion, however, and I don't know how this came about, but he felt that John the First and the emperor were plotting against him. Perhaps it was due to John the First's lengthy absence, or maybe simply as a result of an irrational case of misguided paranoia. We don't really know. But Pope John the First was imprisoned on suspicion of unlawful collusion, and he subsequently died in prison in the year 526. This due in large part to his already frail condition, coupled with the awful treatment he experienced while in confinement. In fact, some papal historians list his cause of death as starvation.
Oh my goodness!
He died a relatively young man, just shy of his 56th birthday. And, you know, although his papacy was brief, he clocked in at less than 3 years, his impact and his legacy looms very large. He's another great saint who died in service to God while paving the way for others to become consecrated in the truth. And, of course, there would be 22 more popes that would go on to take his name. So we go into the Wayback Machine today.
Yeah.
And we focus on a true hero of our church.
Oh, that is so neat. And, you know, one of the many takeaways I've learned from St. John the First is, for instance, we cannot choose the issues for which we have to suffer or perhaps even die. We must display fortitude and a willingness to fight for God's kingdom. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. He reminds us that we need to pray for that spiritual gift, one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need fortitude in this world today. Our lives are not on the line per se, but souls are at stake. And when we do encounter our coworkers or those who hate Catholics, and let's face it, there are people out there who hate Catholics.
We
have to remain firm and strong while also remaining attractive to them, because to argue and to fight is not going to win anybody over.
Correct.
You're not going to win souls to God that way. So again, we turn to men like St. John the First, who had this diplomacy, and he was able to, through artful negotiation, you know, bring parties together. Unfortunately for him, he fell victim to, again, what I would only consider to be perhaps misguided paranoia, and it did cost him his life in time. But true great early figure of our church.
Well, and you're talking about the paranoia. Yeah, St. John I suffered because of a power-conscious emperor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and who else suffered? Jesus suffered because of the suspicions of those who were threatened by his freedom, openness, and powerlessness. So what a parallel you got between those two.
Perfect parallel. In fact, during the daily mass readings just a few days ago, we were going through those gospel passages wherein we hear that the Sadducees and Pharisees were jealous of, of the crowds that, Jesus received. And I think that was at the heart of a lot of their hatred towards him.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately, we know Jesus was condemned to death because he claimed to be the Son of God, which he was. But along the way, so many enemies were so rooted in jealousy because of here's this charismatic miracle man going from town to town, healing people. They would take him on in arguments, and he would always outfox them, right? Mm. I mean, how do you beat the Son of God in an argument on the Bible? You know, you can't.
Well, you can't. And talking about Bible, I mean, John chapter 15, verse 18, if you find that the world hates you, know what it has hated me before you. So again, until the day we die as Christians, those that are not Christian are not necessarily going to understand us. So we just have to be faith-filled, spread the love, you know, be kind, and live like Christ lived.
Yeah, and you know, to our conversation just the other day on Leo the 14th, our new Pope, I'm optimistic. I know you're optimistic.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, God is gathering his people. We at our parish at St. Michael the Archangel, we have 60 people coming to the church at the vigil.
Yes, praise God.
And that's incredible.
Yes.
And the lines are being drawn. Sides are being chosen. And make no mistake, you have to choose a side.
Yes.
This isn't a go-along-to-get-along type world anymore.
No, I agree. I agree completely. Yeah, you got to be hot or cold, not lukewarm.
Not lukewarm. We know in the book of Revelation, our Lord makes it very clear, if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out.
I know. So, Lord, help us. Give us a heart to follow you and to exude your love to the world.
And St. John the First.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes Dave.
And sometimes Dave. We got the name for his next stand-up special, and it's going to be exciting, but we'll put that under wraps for now.
Yes. At 8:41.
At 8:41, time for Monday memes.
I love it. What do you have?
Some of them are silly, some are thought-provoking. I'm going to start with one that was actually in last week, so I just think it's worth repeating. It's a quote from Pope Leo the 14th. Mm-hmm. We cannot build a just society if we discard the weakest, whether the child in the womb or the elderly in their frailty, for they are both gifts from God.
Amen. Oh,
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Amen. Great.
I had to open
that
with that
very
one.
Powerful.
Can't say that one too many times.
Which one? Pope Leo the 13th?
14th.
14th. Oh, this, praise God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. He is cooking with gasoline, man. That is incredible.
He had come right out of the gate, man.
Yeah, swinging for the fences. We were listening to a podcast on the way down, and someone was talking about how he just emphatically was really accentuating the importance of the family out of the gate, you know, the dignity of marriage. It was just great
marriage
stuff.
Is between a man and a woman.
Praise God, just locking in with the church teachings. What else you got, superstar?
Well, some of them are a little lighter than that. My spring clothes have missed me so much. I put them on and they hug me so tight I could barely breathe.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
Yep, we're getting ready for Dave's dad stand-up special. An hour full of the greatest dad jokes you've ever heard.
Oh my gosh. Can you
believe we really used to print out 4 pages from MapQuest and travel like pirates?
Listen,
remember that?
That is hilarious. When I was working for Lennox China, I mean, whenever I would be going to Spartanburg or if I'm going to Greenville, I would have my MapQuest directions all in a folder.
And you're trying to find. It's like, wait a minute, is this where I turn? Where do I turn? Yeah.
I did.
And I've heard a comedian say especially if someone gave you directions, right? There would always be this thing that says, and if you hit the train tracks, you've gone too far. right as you hear clunk, clunk.
That's right. Catholics are criticized not for what they believe, but for what others think they believe.
And that is very
true. Is that Bishop Fulton Sheen?
It's not credited to anybody, but...
Well, you should have credited Bishop Fulton Sheen.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, that's spot on.
He's the one who said it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I may look like I'm okay, but deep inside my shoe, my sock is sliding off. And I wanted to include that one just because you never know what somebody's going through.
Okay, I love how you brought that in.
Everybody looks normal on the outside, but that on the inside, you don't know what's going on.
You know, my dad had a quote, and I really loved this. He said, the only normal people are those that you don't know that well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true. Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's walking through something.
Absolutely. I just sold my homing pigeon on eBay for the 22nd time.
Your what?
Sold my homing pigeon on eBay for the 22nd
time. I'm embarrassed to say. What is a homing pigeon?
Well, you know it's a good joke if you have to explain.
What's a homing pigeon?
Where they fly off and they come back.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's close on this one.
I'm going, what?
Your cell phone has already replaced your watch, your camera, your calendar, and alarm clock. don't let it replace your family.
Amen.
Now that's great going way to out end. On a high note. Amen. Thank you, Dave. More dad jokes next Monday. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, is talking about the signs and symbols of the Mass.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:48. Father Mark White.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here.
It's our privilege to have you here.
So, Father, why are there so many signs and symbols at Mass?
It's a great question. Great. I think sometimes people know there's some meaning behind these things, but they kind of take them for granted over time. And one of the things is the church is really meeting us in our humanity. The Lord is through his church. And that, you know, we're really dependent on signs and symbols. You think about this, we just take it for granted. You know, for example, you know, society really couldn't exist without those signs and symbols. Things like body language, the way we dress, signs of good or bad weather, road signs, stop lights. And you can really go on and on and on. And so it would make sense that this would be something that God would grasp and use in the way he communicates with us as it speaks to spiritual reality. As the Catechism teaches this, it says that as a being at once body and spirit, man expresses and perceives spiritual realities through physical signs and symbols. You know, so it makes sense that as the Catechism also explains that God would speak to us through creation, visible creation. It even says this. It says, the material cosmos is so presented to man's intelligence that he can read there the traces of its creator. In fact, Scripture in the Old Testament is kind of always looking forward to Christ, pointing forward to him with signs and symbols. Signs and symbols, too, that first they really speak to everyone. You know, they're just things of culture, washing, anointing, sharing a meal, bread and wine, right? These are all finding their greatest fulfillment ultimately in the deepest meaning as we encounter Jesus in the Eucharist and in Mass. And it makes sense God would do this when you consider that what happened. We have the Word for all eternity, and that Word, immaterial, invisible, God is made flesh for us. And so the Incarnation is the foundation of all this, right? But listen to what Bishop Fulton Sheen says. This is a beautiful quote I heard from him once on this. He says, to materialists, this world is opaque, kind of like a curtain. Nothing can be seen through it. But then he says this. He says, but to poets, artists, and saints, the world is transparent like a window pane. It tells something beyond. A mountain tells of the power of God, the sunset of his beauty, snowflake of his purity. So always challenge people, and we all need to do this, to learn to pay attention to those signs and symbols at Mass in your reception, really not just at Mass, but in all the sacraments, so many signs and symbols, and allow God's grace, I think, over time to give you more of a sacramental vision of reality where you can see, experience life through the very eyes of the Lord. And by saying, you know, it just makes life a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the materialist way of looking, it gets very boring very quick. You know, there's that again. There's that again. So,
well, you know, when I was in seminary, they really talked about this in metaphysics quite a bit, right? Especially like in this analogical way we can look at things. Right. And so what is in the foreground points to the infinite majesty of really what is in the background, the creator, right? While there is a unique in otherness to it, we can see that there also is an interconnectivity as well.
Yeah.
So while that otherness is infinitely greater, there are these snapshots, these little, you know, kernels we see throughout our lives or existence that really point to his unending glory. I mean,
yeah, no, that's true. And I think, you know, you want to cultivate a sacramental vision of reality, because we all can think on the level of kind of like a nihilist or an atheist or an agnostic, even a practical atheist, even though they may say there's a God. We just see so many things around us constantly that seem so insignificant and so meaningless. So to fill those things with meaning makes life a lot more interesting. You know, St. John Paul II, there are no coincidences. You know, so yeah, I know there's some, we could debate chance and all that with Aquinas and different ways we could see that. But, you know, everyone typically lives as if there is no meaning. You know?
Wow. That's incredible. And for those who are just tuning in, we are with Father Mark White for this very special segment on Signs and Symbols with Father Mark White.
You know what, Father? We're talking about symbols and you were talking about nature or just the majesty of God. More than ever now, just going to the ocean, just seeing the ocean, how it's so beautiful, how the waves are always coming in, you know, you see the tide going in and out. Nature in general, it's just amazing how that points to God.
Absolutely.
Because nobody else could create all that.
Yeah, and you know, the one of the cool things too is you remember the Jewish people were agricultural people in the Old Testament, so that God is constantly using nature. You know, you think of Psalm 1. I mean, you look at a tree and you think of it scientifically, or that tree's dying or whatnot, but do we look at it and do we see our spiritual life? Maybe that's a little convicting sometimes, or maybe think that's the kind of life I want. And I think, you know, that's constantly the way that you see the Jewish kind of perspective being presented by God communicating to his people. Even the feasts, even all the liturgies that they use are ultimately fulfilled spiritually in Christ. And, you know, this is an agricultural people. So they all their feast and their liturgical calendar was kind of mixed in with the fact that they're planting and sowing and harvesting. And you see that in the Old Testament really clearly. So,
well, I even think of the Psalm, when just some of the Gospels, so are the seeds. So,
right. Yeah, I am the true vine, you know, which is looking back to the Old Testament because Israel's a vine.
Yeah.
So there's a mystical body, there's a corporate aspect, but there's also this, the Savior, the Messiah that's sent. And so you're seeing that, you know, really, particularly the agricultural side of it, but then bread and wine, water, I mean, oil, all these common things, too, that every culture, you know, like there's people all over the world right now bathing themselves, washing themselves. And yet, you know, God has taken that and said, well, you all need to be washed in another sense, washed away, have sin washed away from your lives.
Amen.
You know, be anointed with my spirit, my life through bread and wine that becomes the body and blood of Christ.
Well, you shared this with me a while ago, which I thought was one of the best, really apologetic messages to share with someone who was not the Catholic faith, but how God works through secondary causes to make his goodness known. We have a piece of paper and some binding, but you put the right words in there, it becomes the Bible.
That's right.
You have some bread, you have some water, stand alone, they are tools of nourishment, but when used in the right circumstance, liturgical circumstance, all of a sudden there's spiritual nourishment going on.
It is. It's a way of him inviting us to participate because, you know, he provides all of it. It's like you give the child the game for Christmas, you know, your baby or your child, and then you play the game with them. You know, they can't really do anything on their own, but he wants to participate as for us, as his children, to enter into that relationship with them. And that's the way he does it, through those secondary causes that he started, created, and had that intentional, and then we enter into it through those things.
So. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Father Mark White, for this wealth of knowledge. We are truly grateful.
Absolutely. Glad to do it.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Yep, and sometimes Dave as well.
Every now and then, it's 8:56.
Every now and then, and Dave, we look forward to going to the Knights of Columbus convention next year and seeing you.
Yeah, I'd love to go.
It was amazing.
It was really cool, and I feel like most of those guys brought their wives with them.
Oh, yeah.
It's really really cool, and it was a thrill ride. Certainly, we had a lot of fun, but again, that much traveling can be a little exhausting.
Yeah.
Got back yesterday and, you know, just frazzled for a few reasons, but I get back and I have to perform a headline, a stand-up show that night in Woodstock. And I get there and, first off, guess who's there? Friend Ann Hall from Pregnancy Aid Clinic.
Wonderful.
Cool. But yay. I was exhausted and I was cooked. And I remember laying down and I remember thinking, that's what I was looking for. I remember just being bushed, and I just laid down, put in some earphones, and meditated on scripture for about 11 minutes. I was just thinking, like, I'm going to be exhausted, and I just thought, breathe in God, breathe out me. Mm. He must increase, I must decrease. Just grabbing these scriptural kind of quotes.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I came out of that after about 11 minutes a totally different person. It's just a reminder that God can certainly water our souls and give us the strength. In fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So very grateful
Amen.
For that moment.
That's awesome.
Yep, and I think I have a formula moving forward before my shows. I always pray, but I'm going to lean in a little bit more.
Before anything, really.
Yeah,
perfect.
Absolutely. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.